Hey everyone, welcome back to the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt. Today, I have another fabulous guest who happens to be one of my personal besties. Maria Ray is here with us. She's a radical self-love leader and relationship mentor, and also one of the most hilarious people I've ever met in my life. Welcome, Maria.
You're listening to The Magnetic Goddess, a podcast for women who are ready to step into their power and live their best lives. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and I'm here to guide and inspire you to take the journey back to your higher self. We'll talk about everything from personal development to career growth to relationships. We'll share tips, tools, and strategies that will help you become the most confident, successful, and magnetic version of yourself. We'll also talk to inspiring women who have already achieved their dreams and are living their best lives. We'll learn from their stories and discover what it takes to create a life that is truly fulfilling. I believe that every woman has the potential to be a magnetic goddess. She has the power to attract anything she wants in life, and she can create her birthright of abundance. I'm here to help you tap into that inner goddess and live your best life. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's start living our best lives together as magnetic goddesses.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like me, you have played musical titles over the course of the last couple of years with, you know, what you do and how you do it. And so how did you come to the idea of being a radical self-love leader?
It's a very interesting story, actually. When I started my journey in personal development, I was going through, obviously, like many of us, a transformation of my own on the back end. And, you know, having done a lot of the work and done a lot of the healing, I went through a period that can only be described as, I call it my tower moment. It was like the little breaking down of all of my relationships and everything that I held dear to me. Everything that brought me any sense of safety or security. I lost my job. I lost most of my relationships. I had been in a cycle of very toxic, very emotionally abusive relationships for a very long time. And I kind of lost myself in those relationships. And I became very fearful of being hurt, fearful that I wasn't enough, fearful that I would never really truly be loved. And one day that all came to a head and everything came crashing down. So I lost my job. I lost most of my relationships. I lost my home. I literally lost everything. And I went traveling through Southeast Asia on like a dime. I didn't even know how I was going to survive. I remember bawling my eyes out in Bangkok airport when I got there thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die on this trip. And I just spent 6 months in not complete isolation, but away from everything that brought me any sense of security whatsoever. And in that time and in the time since then, and in losing all those things that I found comfort and value and worth in, I was literally forced to find worth within myself and to look within to find my value, my security, to feel love, to feel worthy, to feel good enough. And that has been the biggest transformation of any of the transformations that I've been through in my lifetime. It has been a game changer for me. And, you know, coming from someone who was wildly codependent, and that's something that I still work on. Like, I don't want to say that I've, you know, I still work on that pattern every single day. But it's been that journey of coming back to myself and recognizing my true value and worth that helps me to remember that I have everything that I need within me and that I don't need to cling to job security, financial security, relationship security in order to feel safe, worthy, and loved.
So do you feel, and thank you so much for sharing that, by the way, do you feel that there was a pinnacle or a turning point in your life where you went from like, I deserve to have love, I deserve to have all the things, like I am worthy of this connection, to maybe some kind of messaging that made you feel like maybe that wasn't true, or maybe you were lucky to have those things? Like, if you were to point to a time in your life, did you feel like there was like a culminating moment, or did you really just kind of always believe that, you know, I'm lucky to get anything that I get?
Oh, that's a good question. That, yeah. So I think I don't remember when that belief was created, to be quite honest. I feel like it's always kind of been there. And I feel like even when I did find my first real meaningful relationship, I don't know. I think leading up to that point, there was that mentality of I'll get what I get, and that's great. And I think, you know, when I found the one who I thought was the one, I thought, oh my God, I've scored. Like, this is great. Like, this is everything I've ever wanted wrapped up in a bow. So when that fell apart, you know, I was devastated. And I got a lot of my self-worth from that relationship and a lot of my value from that relationship. So when that fell apart, I literally went back, reverted back to I'm lucky to get what I can get. And then I went to this cycle of dating and falling into one situationship to the next with all these toxic, emotionally unavailable partners, thinking, what is wrong with me? Why can't they love me? Why don't they stay with me? Why do I keep ending up going through the cycle again and again and again, and always feeling like that feeling of like if you could just get one of them to stay with you, then everything would be okay. Not even considering whether or not these were quality partners, whether these were people that I wanted to spend my life with, which now, in retrospect, thank God they didn't work out because I would have died having to spend my life with some of these people. But you didn't even think about it.
Tomorrow. But he's gonna get his license back. He really is. He's working so hard.
He will get off his mom's couch, I swear. He's just, you know, he's having a hard time finding something.
People don't understand him like you.
Yeah, it's bad. It was literally like a shit show of just really bad situationships, one from the next to the next to the next, until finally I had this one woman. And I remember, and I was in my car and I was driving up to my parents. It was my birthday that day, and I had just had like the last falling out with one, and I just screamed. I was done. Like, I am done with this. Like, I don't want to date another person until I know that they're actually worth something. And I think that was the big turning point for me. And that was when I went on my big relationship hiatus, right? So like 6 years of not seven, six, 7 years of like being in complete isolation and really just focusing on myself. And I wouldn't even hear of it. People are like, you know, you got to get it back out there. You got to start. No, I don't, I'm not ready. I do not want to date anybody right now. When I'm ready, you'll be the first to know. But right now is not the time, because I knew I just needed to take that time out.
Connect to that inner boyfriend.
Yeah. And it was magical, because and it was scary in the beginning, because you kind of felt like, okay, well, when's this phase going to pass? Am I ever going to be able to be with anyone again? And, you know, when is that time going to come? Like, clock's ticking here, you know? But eventually, like, everything just kind of clicked into place, and thing and my world started to open up back up again. But it really took time for me to let go of a lot of those old beliefs that were keeping me from connecting with that inner other, right? Or that strength within myself, that love within myself that I needed to find before I could be in relationship. It took a lot of time. I needed to be patient with it.
Wow. It's really beautiful, and it's a really amazing journey that you've been on. So thank you for sharing that with us,
Thank
'cause
you.
that's a really intimate thing to be sharing with people, and a lot of people wouldn't bother. So if you guys are out there listening, you know, you probably may resonate with this, right? Like what it feels like to feel like, oh gosh, you know, this person outside of me is going to complete me, or when they love me, I'll be happier. When I find this person. I was reading, I always say an article lately, but what I usually mean is an Instagram post or a Facebook post. So I was reading something, and
Right.
it was talking about, I was reading a piece of content.
I was reading an essay.
Piece of content the other day. And it was talking about how women, when they write their dating profiles, they write all the things they're looking for and the things they're not looking for. Somebody said, and I thought that was interesting because I'm like, yeah, I could see that. But what somebody said was, you know, it's if women wrote, men want women to write their profile from the point of who they are. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on, you know, I think that as women, we tend to look at relationship creation and you know, searching as almost like a job interview, right? Like, okay, are you gonna fit the constructs of what I need in a, I know I never thought of it this way, but it's
It's
true.
true.
Like, this is what we're doing. We're like, are you my other half? So it's interesting. If I was to look at it from like who I am, I'm just curious, like, and I know I'm totally putting you on the spot. It's the bestie spotlight. You're welcome. Like, without defining what it is that you want in a partner, can you define who you are?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, I'm somebody who really enjoys deep connections with people, deep conversations. I don't do surface level. I don't do small talk. Like it's a waste of my energy. I want to have
You
deep, meaningful connections with people.
just
What did I do?
did it. You literally just did it. I want with people. Like, I want that out there. I just wanted to test it, but
That's interesting. I did do that.
it's so
We
true. It's
do
so
do that.
true.
It's hard to break that because
I
you don't
know.
even realize you're doing it. You
Try
think you're talking about yourself.
it. I know. I know. All
Oh,
right,
I
try it.
just got
No question.
smacked.
No question. Try again. It's easier for me because I've been married for like 87 years. So I'm just like, I am. But no, go ahead and try it again.
No, but I am somebody who loves deep connection with people. I love deep conversations. I love to just feel close and comfortable, even if it's in silence. Like I love that. Like there's nothing I love more than just like warming up next to someone on the sofa and like chilling out.
Weird.
I did it again. Damn it, I'm failing. Okay, I suck.
But isn't this so interesting as we're
It
talking
is. I can't get away
about
from it. It's like
love?
I start off great. And then as soon as I start speaking off the cuff, I immediately go into that pattern.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to illustrate that with someone who I, who I love and who trusts me, because it's true. Like, even on the self-love journey, it's like, okay, well, who am I? Well, I'm a person who wants. Well, I'm a person who needs. Well, I'm a person who works best with.
Yeah.
It's so hard to have that conversation about ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Almost have like, and maybe that's just a thing for codependence where, and if you guys don't know this, I've been on Maria's podcast talking about my codependencies. I think that this is like a coaching sesh that like I'm, an expert in this, and Maria's over here like, no. But it's so interesting because in this energy of like, I'm enough, like we can't even see ourselves without the reflection of those people. I don't know. I
Yeah, no, it's true.
down because I knew I could.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So in your work, because, and let me just say this, there's this creepy thing, audience, called imposter syndrome, where we, the two of us, are wildly effective at coaching each other. And when it comes to ourselves, it's not a good thing.
Meh.
So Maria is fantastic at helping people to tap into radical self-love for themselves. If you watch her content, if you go look at, her reels, she's doing a challenge right now. Well, I don't know if she will be when we record that, when we post this, but she was. And it was amazing. And one of the things is that she's really, really good at helping people tap into this energy for themselves. And I just wanted to show you guys that sometimes, like, we have blind spots in
Yeah.
things that we're brilliant at. And so now I want to ask you in a different lens,
Yep.
when it comes to supporting your clients with this exact same thing, what do you think is the biggest block that's keeping them from cultivating and accessing this radical self-love that you speak of?
It's the overwhelming that thread of not enoughness that we all seem to, that seems to connect us all. I've seen it in both in men and in women. It shows up differently. But I do think that there's this inherent belief that we're not enough and we always need someone else to fill gaps for us. We always need someone else to make us feel safe, to make us feel secure, to validate that we're enough, to validate that we're good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, lovable enough. Like, there's just this inherent thread of not feeling like we're enough. And, you know, I often question, you know, where does this come from, and why do we all like depart, de regardless of where we come from? Like, I've seen this in people from all sorts of backgrounds, from people who grew up, you know, with very little to have in their family, little financial resources. People had tons of financial resources, to people who were showered with love, to people who were in abusive homes, you know, growing up. It's the same thing. Whether it's something that our environment teaches us, or I even wonder if you know, our school system, our world, the way our society has been built, is ingrained to kind of make us feel like we constantly need validation, right? That we have this feeling that we constantly need to be validated. And that, I think, is the underlying thing. And when we start to take that away, you know, everything starts to transform. It takes some time. It gets uncomfortable as fuck, but you know, that's really where the work is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it really is. And I love the way that you say that society kind of conditions us for this, because it's true. It does. It completely creates this paradigm where we're always looking for the hit of energy, right? And I think that helping people to recognize that that energy can be self-created, like you can. And we do the same thing, but we call it different things, right? Like we use different words for it. But this creation and this awareness of an eternal well of self-love, so strong and so powerful that you don't necessarily, well, you don't need anything outside of yourself, and everything outside of yourself becomes a bonus.
Yeah,
And
exactly. It's
I think,
icing on the cake.
yeah. And I think you do this so well with your clients, because it really is about opening to the awareness of your deservedness to be happy,
Yeah,
because
it
that's been
really is.
stuck, right?
It's true. And I think, I never want to say, oh, you know what, the wound of the woman is different than the man, but there is something to be said for generational wounding of women who, you know, when we look back 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, if women weren't, and I'm using air quotes, chosen, their prospects for their future were different, right? It was like either you become a teacher or a prostitute or a seamstress. And if you weren't qualified to become a seamstress, a prostitute, or a seamstress or a teacher, you were forced to basically be a prostitute if you didn't come from a wealthy family, right? If you did not have a husband. And so this thing about being chosen, please choose me, please choose me, has been something that I truly believe that as women has been really, it is a generational conditioning that we've gone through for lifetimes, right? If we've had past lives as women, and I do believe in past life journeys. I don't know if that's too much for this podcast, but I do believe that we've had past lives as, okay, I know, past lives as both men and women. And I think that we do carry that seed of that belief that if we're not chosen, we're not going to survive, because it was literally the fear of not being survive. If the fear that I would not survive if I was not approved of, if I was not chosen, if I was not loved, it felt like literally my survival depended on it.
But I also think, and this is an idea that's been brewing in me for a couple of days, and I think I put the extra energy into it. When we talk about generational wounds and we talk about where we've come from, I feel like there's almost like this delayed outrage where at the time when these horrible, like I was reading a content the other day that was talking about how a woman should prepare for bed with her husband, and like how she should like do all her moisturizing and everything after he falls asleep. And if he wants to fool around, like you're his, that's your job, and all this stuff. And I was like, this is insane and this is toxic. However, that's not how it is now, right? So we've got this built up energy of our mothers and our grandmothers who weren't allowed to speak their outrage except into their families. And so here we are, three or four generations later, still carrying the animosity and the anger about things that are just not real anymore.
It's true.
And so it's one of those forgiveness things, I think,
It is.
it's about us letting go of the anger so it stops plaguing us more than it's about letting them get away with it. Because the ones who did those things are dead and buried.
It's true.
Paradigms have been put to bed. But we're still carrying the wounds, like you said, of these awarenesses of the ways that women were treated, but it's just not like that anymore.
It's not. It's not. It's come a long way. I mean, I do believe we still have work to do, but on both sides of the fence, right? And I think that there's still an evolution to take place. But I think that, when we look at a lot of like what's happened in media in the last couple of years, even if you saw like, I mean, a couple of years ago we had the Me Too movement, it was literally generational frustrations of women who have been, slighted, muffled, silenced, and not able to stand up and speak for themselves. And I think that's where exactly to your point, where a lot of that was coming from. I don't think it was all there was legitimate situations that were happening in the present, but I think that the energy behind it was far beyond what was happening in this time period, right? And so you do see a lot of that. You do see a lot of we're seeing a lot of generational healing happen on all levels right now in the last several years, right? And we've seen this in many demographics, not just with women, right? So, and I do believe that the key to shifting that is, like you said, doing the forforgiveness work, because the people who, started a lot of those beliefs and systems that, held us back for so many years, they're gone, right? They're not here. And we've made a lot of strides. Yeah, we still have work to do, but we're farther along than we have been in a long time. In some ways, unfortunately, we've taken a few steps back, but I think that that's all part of the process. I think that that back and forth is all part of a forward progression, and I think we'll just keep kind of baby stepping our way until we get there. And I think we do need to acknowledge that things have changed since that,
Yeah,
right?
and there's so much pent up anger and resentment, right? Like I know that you and I talked about this, I think on your show, this resentment that builds up in women where they're like, they have been taught from a very early age, a man only wants one thing. A man only wants to get in your pants, and why would he buy the cow if he can get the milk for free? And all of these things that our mothers and our grandmothers did go through, 100%, not denying that. We're in a very different climate. And so when women are exposed to men who are healthy or, who do carry that masculine leadership quality, they already have this chip of like, but are you this? And are you this? And this quality? And do you have this quality? And do you have, coming back to this dating app thing, I don't know why I'm having all these weird downloads in the middle of this podcast with you, but
It always happens when we're chatting.
I know, but it's so true. And I think really being able to help women solidify, and obviously these are all talking points for Maria, so you're welcome. Being able to help women solidify that enoughness in them so that there is no conditionality to their partner. It's
Absolutely.
I'm enough when he, I'm enough if he, I'm enough if he, I'm enough if he does. It's like I'm enough, full stop.
And it's also a big part of it is also too knowing that you're enough to be vulnerable, to be safe, to be loved, and to be happy in a healthy relationship. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and it brought me back to something that I full on experienced, where we were in relationship. She was in relationship with a healthy partner, and she felt bored. She felt bored out of her mind, and she ended up leaving that relationship. And then went through the cycle of toxic relationships. I had when I was very young, I had probably the closest to a healthy relationship I had ever had. And I started to feel bored in that relationship. And this was like pre-college. I was going off to college. I was like, oh my God, I just want to be single, right? And literally left what was probably the most healthiest relationship I had ever had up until that point, and went through the spiral of just one toxic relationship to the next. And there's this unlearning that I think we all need to do, men and women, right? There's this unlearning of what we've been taught relationships look like, what love is, what marriage looks like, what love looks like, what being connected and committed to one another looks like. I think we need to re-script all of that, because that's all based on a toxic dynamic of fighting for control. And it's wildly toxic. And I think that when we come into these healthy relationships, we need to have done some of the work on all of what a healthy relationship looks like. Otherwise, we could potentially get bored, because it's missing that fight or flight that we've become so addicted to, that rush of energy that we get when we meet, you know that energy that I'm talking about. When you meet somebody who you know is like probably toxic for you, and there's like that, there's like that trauma bond between you. Oh my God, like
Call
the
that
energy.
frenzy. Flag frenzy is when it's like all red flags, but you cannot.
All red flags, but you're like I don't care. Well, it's I can live with that.
He choked me. He made me call him daddy. I'm hooked for life. Okay, but like he literally just like took a baseball bat to your car. I know. Wasn't that hot? We read a lot of dark fiction, you guys. We read a lot of smut. So,
We should smart to smart smut club.
yeah. Oh my God, we should totally start a smut club. Seriously, that would be so amazing, because I feel like I don't have enough smutty friends. If you guys are smutty friends and you want to be in a
We
smut,
want to meet you.
you want to be in a smut club, email me or Maria. You have both our emails, and tell us, and we will start a smut club, because I think that's great. Like, will we read books, or are we just like, what are we gonna
I
do?
think we should like read them and then just come together and talk about this.
I'm loving this. I'm loving this. And full
Or
disclosure,
we can just talk smut and forget the books altogether.
good, but I feel like with the overabundance of estrogen, that might not fly. But you guys, I just want to say, in full transparency, if you are in an abusive or an emotionally or a physically abusive relationship, please seek help immediately. We are not in any way glorifying abusive relationships. We're talking about hypothetical ones that take place in hypothetical worlds between black and white pages, and we are not in any way glorifying or endorsing abusive relationships.
Amen to that. Thank you.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how do people get into Mariaville? Like, how do they find you? How do they get into your world? How do they do all the things? Tell us.
So I would love for anyone who wants to know more about me to follow me on the podcast at The Femcast, or they can also find me on Instagram at The Femcast as well. And I'll
Yeah.
probably, if they're not seeing this during the challenge, if they're hearing this after the fact, I will find a way to make the challenge a permanent, give it some permanent real estate on my Instagram channel. So if a 21-day radical self-love challenge is something that they're looking for, absolutely come on over to my Instagram account.
Yeah. And if you
Yeah.
can't find her any
I'm
local
loving it. It's so much fun.
stuff, because we talk 25 times today. Oh
That
my goodness.
all?
Yeah, you
We need to
know.
step it up a notch.
I know. To be honest though, her self-love. It's also on TikTok. If you guys go on TikTok at
Oh,
all,
yeah.
yeah, it's on there too.
I just joined the TikTok.
I know you did. I know that because I got like seven videos from you on the same day. I was like, oh, this is Maria talk. Okay. I'm on Maria talk.
My sister calls it Maria TV.
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea. That's so good. I love that. I love. Yes. Yes, I condone that. Yes, that's a yes. Maria, thank you so much for coming. Obviously, we'll have you back again. Oh, I forgot. What do you feel makes you a magnetic goddess?
Oh, that's a good question. I really do believe it's myself. It's the self-love I've managed to find for myself, because that, in all the practices and all the techniques and all the skills that I've ever learned about attraction and manifesting, all the things that you hear about in the spiritual and self-development community these days, when I come back to just being present and loving myself, looking at all the dark spaces, giving love to all the little wounds and little things that, maybe are crying for some extra TLC or whatnot, that's when life just gets fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's when I pull myself out of that that I tend to kind of shoot myself in the foot. So it really is, and it magnetizes opportunities, it magnetizes relationships, it magnetizes friendships. just situations that you could never have possibly planned on your own. It all just gets orchestrated brilliantly for you. Like, I can't explain it other than it's absolute magic.
Oh my gosh. So activating. So activating. That's you guys. I felt like, whew, oh my God, I couldn't get any better. Comes. Maria, thank you so much for being here with us. It has been fabulous. We'll have to have you back for another episode. Today was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy. I loved being here. Thank you.
I loved having you. And that will do it, you guys, for another episode of the Magnetic Goddess. Until next time, may you be happy. May you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you be at peace. Namaste.